Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, we're right back. B and Lee Cochran, Lee's in the studio with us, and Gene's going to stay with us to ride in shotgun. We're going to finish up the bad war. I know Gene's still got a lot of stuff he wants to say. And guess what, people? I'm so excited. We have our very first caller into Blood River tonight. I know him. I met him up the country last June. But we're going to go to the caller right now. But quickly, I got these four quick machine gun announcements to make, and we're going to the reward, where then we're going to go to Calvin and caller. We're going to do a special, April is a Confederate History Week, the political cesspool. We're going to honor our brother Waffen SS soldiers who fought the same battle, basically the Confederates fought 80 years later. We're going to have Miss Patty Stockman on. She's agreed to come on our show. Thanks to Sam Bushman lining that up. She's the wife of the Congressman Steve Stockman, who was in prison. He's a political prisoner. And also, if you guys want to talk, tune in, the caller in Gene or Lee. I see where Ole Miss is moving. I saw that today. They're moving their very last Confederate statue because the little communist twerks down there are raising Cain about it. Okay, well, those are quick announcements. We'll have more stuff to talk about in the second segment. But how are you doing there, Calvin? Calvin, you there? Well, I guess we lost Calvin temporarily. Hope he didn't. Okay. Anyway, people, Sam will get him back. He may have hung up on us. Who knows? But anyway, we still have, I'm still here. Gene's still here. Lee's still here. Oh, Calvin hung up. Well, I guess Calvin had to do something else. I know Cal. He's a really busy guy. But before we go any further, those are quick announcements. The next segment, I've got a lot to talk about, and Lee's got some stuff to talk about. But before we go any further, I want to go back to Gene and let Gene kind of wrap this up with any loose ends he has. I know he has a lot and probably has a lot of questions and a lot of stuff to say. Plus, I have a couple of questions to ask Gene, and I know Lee does too. So go ahead, Joe. We're back to you, Gene.
Okay. We were talking at the end of the last hour about how the German aristocracy and the military turned on Hitler. And they just were not going to accept the fact that this person wasn't a professional military person, and taking orders from him was totally against him. We don't have to look at Germany to see that happen.
I know what you're going to say.
For its independence.
Go ahead.
We had a general right here in Tennessee that never spent one day in a military school, and yet he whipped the hell out of the U.S. Army every time he ran up against them. But he didn't get of the Confederate government because he wasn't a ring thumper from West Point, and that's Nathan Bedford Forrest. Had he been given a field command of an entire army, I think the outcome of the war would have been entirely different. So we don't have to put down the Germans for doing something like that. We had that happen right here in our own country, and I'm sure we could find a lot more examples as well. So we'll go back. We'll jump from the 1860s back up to the 1940s.
That's one thing good about us, educated guys like me and Gene. We could do that. We can jump back and forth. I knew you were going to say that. I was raring to say that too, Gene, but I knew good and well, you being the Confederate history expert and specifically an expert on the one and only general Nathan Bedford Forrest, you're absolutely right. He wore them out. Since we're talking about Nathan Bedford Forrest, the Wizard of the Saddle, how many people did he have under his command at the very height of his power? Do you think he had 30, 40,000? Did he even
no,
have that many?
Never. Never had that many. Probably the most he had was the three divisions that he had on Hood's Nashville campaign, and that was probably about anywhere from 6 to about 7,000, and that was it.
God, is that all?
Yeah.
That's not even a modern division.
No.
Lord. Could you imagine, just imagine if he'd had 100,000 guys behind him. Yeah, you're right. I think he'd have won
Chicago
the war.
Chicago would be a southern city right now.
Yeah, I guarantee. It's amazing. You know, I know this mate, and I'm taking special pride because he's from Tennessee, and even more so, he was from West Tennessee. In fact, as Lee can vouch, and Gene, we had his statue right down here. It used to be Nathan Bedford Forest Park. In fact, the worst sunburn I ever had in my life was when I was slipped off when I was in the second or third grade. They had a wading pool in that park, and I got a horrible sunburn, but I still remember that statue. All of us kids used to play around it. His grave is still there, but it's a shambles. They have these orange cones around it and a big high fence. They're just trying to make it look as horrible as they can, Gene. It's just, what a travesty. I mean, it's just horrible. And well, Gene, before we go back to...
It's part of the communist takeover. You know, you destroy people's history and people's heritage, and if they believe they have no history, and they believe they have nothing worth holding on to, then they'll accept communism, or they'll accept socialism or progressivism or whatever they want to call it. And it's the same thing they did to Germany, and I'm sure Mr. King can tell you about this, what they did to Germany after the war to just beat the German survivors of the war down into the dirt and put a boot heel on their neck and grind their face into the dirt and tell them how terrible they were. And they had to accept this Allied occupation, and they can't have anything. I don't think you can have anything today in Germany with the German military from the war on it. Like they have over here in military shows and things like that. They can't even have that in Germany today. So that's all part of that brainwashing, propaganda and re-educating the people. And, 1984 is not a novel. It's a real book, and it's in real action today. So anyway, that's where we are.
Oh, God, the next segment, I got to tell you about some 1984 we ran into last week. But by the way, I might not have told you, I'm remiss if I didn't, Gene. Michael King had to leave. He said he had some stuff to do, but he's going to come on. I hope you'll be around. He's going to come back, and he's going to talk about the war on Putin. So I know you being the educated history teacher, be boning up on the war on Putin. And also, Gene, I would like to get you to help. One of the things I wanted to do, we've always done Confederate History Week. Well, I consider the Waffen-SS, the German Army, specifically the Waffen-SS, and generally the Wehrmacht, the Kriegsmarine and the Aquamarine, whatever, they are our brothers. They're merely carrying on the same war, I think, 80 years after the American Civil War. They were fighting the same international Zionist Jews. And I'm running this by you and Lee. Fighting the same force that brought in the Balfour Declaration that started in World War I, and they were the same Zionists that came in and started World War II. The Waffen-SS were our kindred spirits. They were basically white Christian people. What do you think about that, Lee and Gene? Lee, what do y'all think?
Go ahead, take that.
Zionism. There was a rich, the Rothschilds were back then in the 1860s, and they were trying to break up America. And in the, in the 40s, Zionism had, in the 1860s, it was just beginning. And then it bloomed, after World War I. What do you think about that, Gene? Or you can add to it.
Here's the thing. I don't know how much influence the Rothschilds really had in our war for independence, but I'll tell you who did have a lot of influence on the enemy side, on Lincoln's government. The 48ers were over here.
Uh-oh, Gene, there's the music. I got to get us in and out in 10 seconds. Guys, well, hold that thought, Gene. We will be right back in just a few minutes, and we'll be going to our second segment of the second hour.
My brother and two other boys were the ones that got in the car with her, and she was drunk. The road that goes to her house is like really windy, and she was taking that road at 80 to 100 miles per hour. And when it hit into the road barriers, her door flung open. She ran out across the street to get away from it. And the other three boys were trapped in it. And the car exploded. And then when my mom found out about it, she called me at work. I don't care what you have to do, just get up here to the hospital. I parked my car and I went inside. And they took us back to this little room. My mom told me that Jay had been killed. And I lost it. To other people, because they're like, well, you can drink, but just be careful when you drink, So I don't want anything to do with it because it took my brother away from me.
A public service message from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm a prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, I tell you what, skill, they say, beats luck, but I don't know. I think I need a lot of luck in my life, too. I'm going to go back with one more item, and I don't know if we're going to have time to get through with my stuff tonight, but we got to go back to Gene, and then the last segment we have... Listen, Miss Tamara Goodwin was in contact with me. She is the, you people might remember, she is the mother, Miss Tamara Goodwin is the mother of Jacob Goodwin, who is a political prisoner in the Virginia prison system, left over from the Battle of Charlottesville. She's going to come on and give us a prison update, Gene. You can stay on for that, too, because you were there in Charlottesville.
No, I
want to
hear
coming on the very. Yes, sir. I want you to interact with that. She's going to be coming on. Sam's going to get her on the horn, the last segment at about 5:45 Central. But now, before I'm going to throw this one out, I'm going to probably save most of my rant for next week. But I'm going to throw this out, and I'm turning it over to you, Gene and Lee. Listen, I saw at the University of Mississippi, it's just heartbreaking. I saw this green-haired transvestite, I don't know what the crap it was, some kind of beast down there with some blacks. Well, he's white, siding with the blacks, of course. And they're saying these statues have got to go. There's one last statue, Gene, down at the University of Mississippi that I know of. You know, their namesake is the Rebels, Confederate soldiers returning from the Civil War. To the best of my knowledge, were instrumental in starting that university up. I don't know why any white person would send a child in there, but they're moving that statue, Gene. I don't know if you've seen anything about it, Gene and Lee, to supposedly a cemetery.
Had a good friend of mine from here in Nashville, and he went to Ole Miss. He's from West Tennessee, but he went to Ole Miss, and he was terribly upset about it. He was going down there this weekend, and he called me from on the road and was giving me the gory details of what they're doing down there about moving that statue. They have an interim president of the university, and he figures he's not going to be there anyway, so he's going all along with this to try to get that statue moved. Now, the I can't think of the name of the administrative body, like the Tennessee Department of Higher Education, whatever that is for Mississippi. They would have to give final approval, but what he was telling me, that interim university chancellor wouldn't have done that and wouldn't have tried to move that statue unless he'd had a deal behind the scenes with this the academic council that runs the university system down there. So seems like it's pretty much a done deal. They concocted all of this some nighttime operation, and now this is just the final part of it. So, yeah, it's like they did over at Chapel Hill in North Carolina, just tore that statue down. They've moved one off the campus at the University of Louisville. These communists don't want anything Confederate around them. You know, it slows down their long march through the institutions and making America a communist country. So they have to get rid of all of this. It's very simple.
You know, you're so right. And Gene knows more about what I'm getting ready to say than I do, far more. Gene's been in this for years and years and years. But as we well know, if I'm not mistaken, Gene will correct me if I'm wrong, there was a judge in Nashville. Nashville's the capital of the state of Tennessee. Issued an order, a cease and desist to stand down until a review board could look at the removal of the Nathan Bedford Forrest statue, and specifically Jefferson Davis's statue from down what used to be Confederate Park, but here in Memphrica, here in Nairobi on the banks of Mississippi River in West Tennessee, in Memphis, we have a black city council, predominantly 90% black city council, a black police chief, a black sheriff. They just stumped their nose, said, the hell with the law. What law? What law? We don't obey no stinking law. The law, Gene, in my opinion, I'm run by you, it doesn't mean anything anymore at all here in Memphis and here in Tennessee or down at Ole Miss. Now, back to you, Gene and Lee.
These people do whatever they want to, and if you try to stop them, they cry racism, and then everything comes to a screeching halt, and they go ahead and do whatever they want to. And the cowardly politicians like Governor Has-Been that we just got rid of, got him out of there. That night they were taking down the Forrest statue, they were calling the Highway Patrol at the West District headquarters in Jackson to send the Highway Patrol. And Governor Haslam sent the order down there to have the Highway Patrol stay out of it and turn it over to the Memphis police, which you said is mostly black. So that was a done deal. So if the top chief executive officer in your state and the state attorney general are corrupt, what chance do you have of using the court system to find any justice? You might as well, you know, we might as well be fighting it out behind the barricades in the streets, you know, like they do in Central American countries or anything like that. So, like what's going
absolutely
on in Venezuela right now, you know?
And you know what? That's kind of just almost like we were talking on a federal scale. Well, we talked about with Eisenhower, Marshall, FDR being communist at the very top levels. That's all you need.
That's
you
all
know,
you need.
In the next segment, go ahead, Gene. I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead. That's it. You're right. That's all you need. Just two or three at the top level, and then the whole rest of the system, your police, your district attorneys, your judges, everyone else is corrupted right along with them.
Well, I'll tell you what. And, you know, Gene, I'm going to tell you, if I have time, I'll make this as fast as I can. Gene already knows the story, so does Lee. Okay, it was a week ago Thursday we went to Congressman David Kustoff's office. Thankfully, we have not had any blowback over that. We haven't been visited by Zog, which some people thought we might be. But we wasn't too worried about that. We didn't break any laws. Okay, last Sunday, I went over to the little one-man operation. I'm going to show you how much law we have, how much the Constitution means. I had my little sign that said, open borders for Israel, gun control for Israel. It's something I've been wanting to do for 2 years, genuinely. I couldn't rest until I did it. So I'm over on the public sidewalk with just a little stinking sign, holding the sign up. Well, I was there approximately 20 minutes in this black rent-a-cop comes up to me, tells me, hey, you can't do what you're doing. And I said, what am I doing? He said, you can't do what you're doing. I said, well, I'm on a public sidewalk exercising my First Amendment right, this free speech, and I'm here. So what are you going to do? Okay, so anyway, then just within a matter of minutes, a couple of guys, goons in suits, I'll say, good Southern Baptists, came from Bellevue Baptist Church, one of the largest Baptist churches in the United States, if not the largest. And they come out there. It's pretty much the same thing. He asked, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to have this little protest. And by the way, you're in my way. Get out of my way. Well, and this is what does the cake. Then another guy comes out, the last one. It was seven plus or minus one of them. He comes out. He told me he was going to whip my AWS. And I said, well, and I told him, you might not want to try that because you're going to be going to jail or we're going to start the games and we're going to commence the rumble. Well, one of his buddies, when I decided it's time to back off, one of his little young thugs from the Baptist church. Baptist and thugs, I mean, it's interchangeable, you know, Southern Baptist now. But anyway, they put back this thing, Gene. It looked like, I couldn't tell if it was a taser or if it was one of these little portable, when you hit the little thing on your leg and like it's a little portable wine, nightstick comes out. And since I've been cardiac ICU back in 07, I thought, well, I better leave. You know, so I went ahead and I told them they won the battle, but they hadn't won the war. So then last week, I went down to the courthouse. This is 1984. I got to wrap this up, y'all. Went down to the Shelby County Courthouse. I went to three different judges to try to get an audience with the judge to help me do something to get our constitutional rights restored where I can, we can have little sidewalk demonstrations like this. No luck. So I went down about a mile away, University of Memphis School of Law, same thing. Got two lesbians at the counter, gave me a hard time. They said I couldn't meet with the senior law student. I couldn't meet with the legal professor. Here's the George Orwell turnover in his grave. They said they have a professor that teaches constitutional law, hopefully, and I said, and also maybe city statute, county statute law. Well, he couldn't speak to me because he's not allowed to practice law. I'm sitting there scratching my head. So the point of this whole story is, people, there is no law. These thugs from the Southern Baptist, supposed to be Christian, coming out and getting ready to get, and they're going to get me down, take me to the ground, and kick the hell out of me. I'm 72 years old, you know, and God only knows what else. And they were going to get me arrested, you know, because I'm out there exercising my First Amendment right. Oh, with all this together, my question to you, Gene and Lee, that's, well, we got to go. Well, that's this last question as soon as we come back, and then the ball's in y'all's court. Okay, people, hang on, and we'll get to the end of the story in just a minute.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Democratic Senator from Minnesota and presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar discussed the Mueller report during a Rye, New Hampshire town hall.
We've just found out that the report is completed. We have asked that it be made public. 420 members of the House of Representatives voted that it be public. But yet there is an attorney general in place right now who wrote a memo that really looked at an executive power that was much broader than anyone has ever interpreted it.
A cruise ship with engine problems sent a mayday call off Norway's western coast Saturday, then began evacuating its 1,300 passengers and crew amid stormy seas and high winds in a high-risk helicopter rescue operation. The Norwegian newspaper VG said the Viking Sky cruise ship ran into propulsion problems as bad weather hit Norway's coastal regions. The San Antonio City Council narrowly voted to prevent Chick-fil-A from opening a restaurant at the city's airport this past week due to that company's alleged bias against LGBT rights. This is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year. A month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
This past week, over 24 more recordings were added to a national registry. USA's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
For the 17th year, the Library of Congress has picked out a wide-ranging set of recordings. Another 25 of them, most of them popular songs and albums, added this past week to the Library of Congress National Recording Registry. Among them, La Bamba, Jay-Z's album The Blueprint, and this, Soul Man. And also this one by Neil Diamond. Sweet girl, Non-musical entries include Robert F. Kennedy's April 4th, 1968 speech given in response to the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Barbara Streisand believes Michael Jackson was a child molester, but she also believes his victims got a bonus and the sexual attacks didn't kill them. That according to an interview by The Times in the UK. TMZ reports Streisand shared her thoughts about MJ and the two accusers featured in Leaving Neverland.
Hey, I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday.
Well, folks, we're right back with the old chunk of coal. Oh, get this. 2 weeks from today, I will be the big 72, 72 years old, folks. Doing pretty good, though. Still running marathons by the grace of God. But, you know, we'll go back quickly. I got that ran in pretty quick. But the point is, I'm saying, is people, it just seems to be, I wake up more every day. We have zero law. Just what I told you about getting run off the sidewalk for just holding up a friggin' sign. That's happened to me many times, too, from when I was raising money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. People try to run you off. So back to you, Gene and Lee. Give me your one last thing. On our website, we promised Blood River, we promised our listeners we were going to take it to the universities. We were going to take it to the churches. We were going to take it to the streets. So we've taken it to those three places, and we've also taken it to the courthouse. We take it to the courthouse. We take it to the law school here in Memphis. So, Gene, you know, anything else we do is going to cost us dearly. Like I've talked to this with Sam, you know, we're really on the edge of the envelope. If we take it any further, that's probably right. It's going to be some, you know, if anyone goes to jail, it's not going to be the Southern Baptist thugs coming out to beat me down. It's going to be another Charlottesville thing. I don't know. But me and Lee's going to, I got some, an update. We're going to go one other place with that when we go back to Lee. So Gene, what do you think about that, fella? What about the law here in the United States?
Well, there is none for conservatives. The law system has been so perverted and so taken over by the leftists that, you look every day that any time something happens to a conservative, they're guilty even if proven innocent, and the left leaning progressives, the liberals, just walk away from it. Take for example over there in North Carolina when they tore down the Confederate statue there at Chapel Hill, they had surveillance videos of people that did it. They were arrested, they were brought before a judge, and they turned them loose. Now if they'd gone over there and torn down the Martin Luther King statue somewhere or spray painted over the Martin Luther King Boulevard, there had been black ops jumping out of helicopters and SWAT teams crashing through doors and all over that. But you let somebody that's conservative have something happen to them, the law just turns a blind eye to it. That's what we're dealing with. Regardless of who's in the White House, it's going to happen with anybody. So,
that's true, Gina. On Monday, me and Eddie are going to try to go to the county sheriff and ask him for help. He's really uneducated about his constitutional duties, and we've got to send these sheriffs to these constitutional sheriff conferences at Sheriff Mack and the sheriffs, the Peace Officers and Sheriffs Association. I don't know if we get to talk to him, maybe one of his subordinates. But, you know, we need somebody to back us up, or they'll just tell us just to get off the thing. And if I try to film it, they'll say, you have a gun, and they'll kill me.
Yeah.
It's a cell phone. No, it's a gun, and they'll kill me, you know.
You know, you're right. Me and Lee are going to go to the sheriff, and I'll tell you another thing that's really encouraging. Of course, we have a black sheriff now, a black Shelby County sheriff. We're probably not going to do any good. You get any relief from him, but we're trying to fix it where we can at least go out and exercise our constitutional rights, rights given from God, actually, whether we're going to succeed or not. And get this, people, it's become so evil. The same thing has happened to me before. Raising money as a St. Jude hero. Mm-hmm. I've raised thousands and thousands of dollars for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. I'm tired of saying me. It's because people. Good people contributed money to the show, to my St. Jude. Gene, what do you think about what do you think our trip going to the sheriff here in Shelby County? You think we're going to do any good?
Well, he's part of the problem. I mean, he's part of the system. He works for the government, and, you know, they're sworn to uphold the law, but I think they take their oath with their fingers crossed behind their back. I've been very disappointed in our police departments and our law enforcement after we were up at Charlottesville and saw what they did there. And, you know, when you have a crooked mayor, a crooked police chief, highway patrol, all on the side of the Antifa communists and throwing us out of General Lee's park, General Lee, a Virginian, and this is a statue in Virginia, and pushing us out of that park into that street in that howling mob out there and working with that. They were trying to hoping they were going to get some of us killed. I have no doubt in that mind, because I'd talked to some of those highway patrol and that were pushing us out. And I said, if you get us out of here, where we can get back to the parking garage, we'll go. And they told me, get the F out of here, or you're going to be arrested, and literally pushed us out of that park. So, you know, they weren't concerned with upholding the law or upholding their oath to defend the citizens of this country or follow the law. They were under the thumb of that criminal governor, that Terry McAuliffe, who's part of the Clinton crime syndicate, and that slimy mayor, and they wanted an incident. That whole thing was set up from the get-go. And then I think you're going to have a guest on there to talk about one of our people that was arrested. The only people that were arrested were the conservative people from the alternate right. The thugs and criminals that went after us with a homemade flamethrower or beat our people over the head, ran up behind them and beat them over the head, nothing happened to any of them. And they were on video. You know, their actions were recorded, but nothing came of that.
You know, Gene, you're so right. You know, I'll always forever be bonded with Gene as a brother. You people, I rode up there. It was me and Mr. Marine Jeans, who we're talking to right now, Rich Hamblin, Matt Goodwin, and the one and only Simon Roach. And if you've ever done that, we spent 2 or 3 days together, cooped up in an SUV and in the hell of Charlottesville. But I consider Gene my brother. I fight to the death for him. And I'll tell you what, I know Gene will share my view. You just can't understand what it's like unless you were there, because and I'm not saying, you know, hadn't seen, you know, battle before or anything, but I'm saying is I could not believe it's surreal. Is this really happening in the United States of America? Like Gene said, in the state that Robert E. Lee was born in, bred in, the great state of Virginia, it's really happened where not only was there not any law at all, no equal protection under the law, we were hated and attacked like demons from hell. You know, the very anything good in this country, in this United States, is looked upon as evil now. And what's given me trouble since then is trying to get the message out to even my people I used to have as my friends. And I hate to keep, you know, howling at my friends, but because I've talked about this a lot. But there's so many people that I would have banked on. I thought they would be with me to the very end, and they won't even speak to me now because, you know, they know my views. So they knew we were in Charlottesville. But I hate to be pessimistic, but I tell you what, Gene and Lee, we see right now there is absolutely no anything that resembles law for we the people, we the white Europeans in this country right here. I mean, what else is next? I mean, what next coming? Unless we do something, and you know, we're going to be facing, as soon as they get control, Gene and Lee, as soon as we get critical mass, is when the white people go below a critical mass. What do you think is going to happen to us? I mean, look what happened to the white.
Same thing that happened in Rhodesia. Same thing that's happening in South Africa today. They'll just kill us off.
And, you know, my question is to the people out in the audience, I'm going to say, and I'm not preaching violence right now. Don't, you know, I sure as hell don't want to go to prison for something I say on the radio, you know. But when will we be stronger? When will the white race have, when will we have a greater number than we have right now? When will we be more, you know, when will we be in a better position to resist what's coming? And it's coming. I mean, it's going to be here. Will it be in our lifetime, or we're going to pass this on to our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren? That's the question I have to the audience. And if some of the audience wants to call in before we go to our last guest, you're welcome to do it. If you have any solutions, I mean, Gene and Lee, I see no political solution. I see no peaceful solution to keep us from going into camps. I'm 72 years old. I may be able to get to the end of my time without doing it, but I don't know. What do you think about that, Lee?
Well, it's just the demographics, or it's a downtrend. I know the Mormons are keeping their demographics up. They're booming. So maybe everybody should take a key from the Latter-day Saints.
But that's a small area, though. I mean, yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. Sam knows more about that than, but that, I mean, really, but when they're still going to be outnumbered a gazillion to one. But anyway, back to you, Lee.
Well, yeah, well, just the demographics, and we're gonna lose all our senators. Are we going to have to make all the conservatives go to one part of the nation and all the liberals go to another one so we can divide the nation? I don't know. We need some, I think we got to have a, and if they do away with the Electoral College, man, we're going to have some political solution. I don't know what we're going to do.
Gene, are we going to be able to establish, I know, leading this up, well, here, there's the music. We're going to go right back. We're going to bring Tamara Goodwin, and I want Tamara and Gene to converse together when we come back. People, hang on. We're going to be right back.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Alrighty, people, I hope you hung on to this last final segment. We have a great guest on here coming on. Her name is Ms. Tamara Goodwin. She's no stranger to Blood River Radio. Her son is one of the many political prisoners that were locked up in the state of Virginia, resulting from their being there exercising their First Amendment rights at the Battle of Charlottesville. And Tamara, I'm going to bring you on a minute. And listen, by the way, Gene Andrews, Mr. Marine Jeans, he's going to primarily interact with you because he was there in Charlottesville. He saw everything there was to see, so he's going to be interacting with you.
Okay.
And before I let you go, don't let me forget, I'm going to announce the big Christian, the white nationalist meeting that's going to be in Harrison, Arkansas, and it's going to be the last 3 days of April. It's going to be April, the 26th, 27th, and 28th.
Yes,
and the Blood River, hopefully, Lord willing, is going to be there broadcasting there. Me and maybe I can get Sam hooked up. Maybe we can do kind of a marathon broadcast. But with that, Gene, I want to introduce you to Gene Andrews, Mr. Marine Jeans. He's my brother. We went to Charlottesville together. I want him to talk to you. So if you will, Miss Tamara, welcome. Here's Mr. Gene. And Gene, here's Miss Tamara. Miss Tamara, tell Gene, introduce yourself, and then I want Gene to take the rest of this interview. So go ahead.
Hi, Tamara. I'm Jacob Goodwin's mother. I took him there to Charlottesville, and I didn't expect the outcome of it. I'm very proud of our son, and my husband and I cannot tell you how proud we are that he took a spot where grown men wouldn't even walk. You know. And at the time, he was only like 22 at the time. So whatever questions you have for us, we're willing to answer.
Ma'am, thank you very much. And I wish you would tell our listening audience what exactly happened to your son and why he's being prosecuted. We went there with a permit to be at General Lee's Park to protest the removal of General Lee's statue. And before we could even get to the park, all hell broke loose on us. So let the audience know what happened to your son and why he's being prosecuted.
Yes, sir. It was an injustice what's happened to my son. My son was there to stand up for history and his rights. And a gang of blacks, if you check it out, I'm learning more and more every day, believe it or not, a gang of blacks jumped him, actually. And he saw a man getting hit in the head with a flashlight, an older man, and the guy ran at him 3 times. And it's like I was in that garage. I don't see how he even saw. It was like dark in there. And then the stuff he got tased. I mean, he got hit with feces. Urine was thrown on him. He was maced. He was tear gassed. The smell of his clothes, it took me 3 times to get that smell out. And he went to trial. And the jury gave him 10 years and $25,000 fine and good behavior till he's 50. But they came back and wanted to suspend it. Well, the judge, he just said, nope. He said, I'm going to spend 2 years of it. So they gave my son 8 years for defending himself and a $15,000 fine when he gets out. He's only 24. And then he has to be on good behavior till he's 50. I mean, murderers don't get that much.
No.
And
no.
That's, you know, but I tell everybody to go to the Year of Jubilee / Jacob, and they can hear his interviews. They can see more things of what's going on. People really need to open their eyes about what's going on in their rights and things like that.
Well, that whole incident was a gigantic lie that was perpetrated by the fake news media. I was not more than 30 feet away from where that happened. And that black
yes.
guy, the blacks were cowards. They really were.
Yes,
and
yes.
They wouldn't fight our young people one-on-one in front. They waited till the demonstration was broken up. And like I said, the police pushed us out of Lee Park. We were trying to go up Market Street to get back to the parking garage, and the blacks, like these wild hyenas or wild dogs, were lurking around the edges, waiting until the people out in the street turned their back, and then they would run up and attack people from behind. And they
yes,
ran
sir.
This particular individual ran off the sidewalk and clubbed one of our people, a middle-aged man, over the back of the head with one of those big mag lights. And
yes,
you
sir.
Know, that
That's
has,
what's happening.
Several batteries in there, and it's quite a weapon to use. They clubbed him over the back of the head, and he fell to the ground. And then this black took off running towards that parking garage, and that's where several other people jumped him in that parking garage because he had attacked one of our people. So
yes, sir.
That,
well,
I saw
you know,
that. I saw
Alex
that
Heyer, they beat Alex Tyre to, I mean, to a pulp, and he passed out. Now, did he took his butt with him like a man, and he went on home. Did the other ones, the colors, take their butt with them like a man and go off? No, they didn't. You know,
that guy that got jumped, that sucker punched our individual. He went on the news and talking about how he'd been jumped, and oh my, it was so terrible, a racist attack.
Yes, sir.
And he set up one of those accounts where the pay me accounts, and made hundreds of thousands of dollars off that from these liberal mushy heads that have more money than sense to send to him. And he was getting paid for starting this incident, and it was ridiculous.
Well,
that was DeAndre Harris. That was DeAndre Harris,
DeAndre,
I believe, Gene.
Yeah, well, DeAndre him? Harris got over 160,000.
That black guy was DeAndre Harris.
One of his GoFunds.
Yeah.
He got over 160,000. I don't know if you know this, sir, but my son saved a woman's life while he was there. Three grown men were beating her up with nunchucks. And my son.
She's been on this show. Yeah, she's been on this show. Her name is Nelly. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yes. And you can see her. You know, she's. I talked to her every day. I talked to her for an hour yesterday. And she was so terrorized. She said today, smell of something, or if she's by too many guys, it scares her. She still has stuff from it today. And my son heard her screaming, and he happened to have two shields, and he wrapped around her. Thank God he's a pretty good-sized guy. And she said it felt like I was floating. He picked her up off her feet, basically. And if you look there, if you go to see that about my son, you can see that. You have to look really close. But he's got her. And she said, I couldn't let him go because I was so afraid. And he said, Mom, I was trying to pull her hands to tell her to run, to get away when I got her out of harm's way. But,
sure.
Yeah.
That's what we had to do. We had to defend each other. The police were doing absolutely nothing. They were worthless as just piles of garbage standing around. And
well, I just found out a couple of days ago that the boy that when they were in the garage, and Dustin, excuse me, Jacob was standing over DeAndre Harris, a black guy hit him on the back of the head on his helmet and knocked him off balance. He hit him so hard. Well, come to find out, I just got it this week that guy threw a water bottle and almost hit Jacob in the back of the head before they got to the garage.
Yeah,
they were there waiting.
Yeah.
Well, Ms. Tamara, before we run out of time, I want to ask you two things. I want to ask you to give a quick update on your son and the other prisoners, because I know you're in contact with Daniel and some of the other prisoners.
Yes.
And also, I wanted to tell you to see, are you going to be speaking at the conference in Harrison on
April 26th? I don't know. I hope to. I invite everybody to come out to that conference and just meet my husband. I would love to meet you all. I need all the help and support I can get. We need it badly, because we're going to be fighting this. I'm hoping to be going to. We're still trying to get into Washington, but you know they don't want us there. We're going to have to keep adamant to get there.
I got to make this quick. I should have. There's just never enough time. People, the conference we're talking about. I hope Tamara is speaking. It's going to be. Listen, it's going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, April 26th, 27th, 28th. It's going to be in Harrison, Arkansas. And you can go back in the archives and get this number, or you can send me an email at Blood River Radio to address it to me. The phone number there for further information is 870-427-3414. It's being put on. This main sponsor is Pastor Thomas Robb with the International Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, but it's open for any white person who's they prefer Christians, but you do not have to be a Christian. Come there, and if you want to show up, you'll be with other white Christian patriots, he says, and there's going to be teaching and lessons and games and food for mom and dad and teens and kids. So if you want more, we're going to announce this again next week, but I just want to let you know that. I hope Tamara's speaking with that. Now, if you will, Miss Tamara, I'm going to ask you to give us an update on Jacob, Daniel, Ramos, and the other guys that you keep in contact with. And we're about to run out of time, but then if there's any time left, I want Gene to chime in on the last. So go ahead. We got about 2 minutes.
They for sure.
You there?
I'm sorry. They're really loud in here. They were really loud.
Okay. Listen, we're having a hard time hearing you. I'm going to go back to Gene, Ms. Tamara, because we're having a hard time. I'm going to go back. Gene, I don't know if you got that or not, but we had a little bit of a delay there because there was a lot of background noise. But so we lost Tamara there for a minute because of the noise. So what I don't know how many people are going to be at that. One last thing. We have a brother. Gene, tell us about our brother Rich. He was also attacked and knocked down to the ground, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it happened to numerous people that were up there. Rich, I was walking backwards to keep these blacks from attacking us from behind, and Rich was up ahead of me, and I'd kind of just glanced over my shoulder a couple of times to see where he was. And all of a sudden, I saw some people that were wearing dark shirts like we were wearing. I thought they were some of our people, so I turned around again, looking back behind us to keep us from being sucker punched by these blacks. The next thing I know, when I turned around, Rich was down on the ground, and some of these people had attacked him once again from behind. They never fight face to face.
Gene. Thank you so much. And we'll have Tamara on again real soon, but we're just about to run out of time. Thank you, everybody. Keep us in your prayers. Keep Blood River in your prayers. Keep your American people in your prayers and your family. Thank you so much for being on the night, and we'll see you next week, God willing.